On this episode of We're the Dudes, a discussion about the 2019 film Uncut Gems and why you should definitely watch it when you need a nice, relaxing, stress-free evening. If at any time you're enjoying this conversation, drop a like on the video or subscribe to the channel. This podcast is also available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. And now, without further delay, here's the dudes.
Well, we don't have our old intro music, so we'll have to do it ourselves. Dun, 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 dun.
That was classy.
That's too classy for us.
Was that like that guy who does the voices for like all the TikToks and reels and stuff? Was that...
So it's an AI. So there's a lot more AI like voice capabilities now, and it's getting really natural sounding. You can make it sound like it's actually, you know, given it the inflection that a real human being would have. So, you know, I put it together. I figured it would be a fun little. And by the way, we're live, so you should probably stop.
I want to do stupid stuff.
Okay,
because it's live.
I like your shirt. Let me see that shirt real quick. Rocky Mountain. So yeah, I'm a big fan of like those hiking and nature type shirts. Mm-hmm. So I want to go find Bigfoot one day. I want to go out into the woods and I want to find Bigfoot. That's my mission in life.
You've already found him. He's in your heart.
By the way, I pre-ordered that Sasquatch Sunset movie. So when that comes out, we got to do a show on that. Yeah. But that looks good.
It looks bonkers. Yeah.
All right, so first ever live show on Streamski Media, and we're doing the We're the Dudes podcast, and we're talking about Uncut Gems. Now, this is one of my favorite movies ever, and I had to poke and prod you to watch it. So we're not going to worry about spoilers because this movie came out 5 years ago, and I figure that's like old enough that, you know, if you are watching this video, you probably have had a chance to see it. So... let's kind of get your initial thoughts on this movie.
Intense. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're not really like feeling comfortable at all, which I think is the point.
Yeah. So the Safdie brothers, they like to do movies that kind of, you know, immerse you in the story and make you feel that anxiety. So in addition to this movie, there's another one called Good Time. It's Good Time. It's got the new Batman, Robert Pattinson, and it's the whole story takes place in one night. This story takes place over just a couple of days, it seems. So we got Kevin Garnett. Let's just start at the beginning. Kevin Garnett was, in my opinion, awesome. Like, very natural as an actor.
I mean, he just plays himself.
Right, but still, I thought he crushed it. When he's holding the gem and he's like, I feel like I can fly with this thing. Like, I just thought it was like, that is totally something that Kevin Garnett would say.
Have you seen his podcast?
I have not seen his podcast.
Yeah, he's like that in real life. I just think he's definitely he's an intense dude too.
Yeah. And then we had the goons. Like, almost everybody in this movie was like a real person from New York that was cast. That's what I found interesting, like the guy delivering the fish that had the hidden gems in the middle in the guts. He's a real guy. The goons, like Arno and the guy, I forget his name, the gray-haired guy who's kind of the main villain.
Is it Phil?
I don't remember his name. We'll never get it. But yeah, the guy who ultimately shoots everyone in the end. He's a real New Yorker. These are not actors. They're just like intimidating dudes, which I felt was great. And the one thing about this movie is like everyone's talking over each other and there's all these ambient noises also at the same time. So it's designed to make your senses not know what to listen to and what to look at and what to think about. And so the first time I watched it, I was really confused. And I think that's why it's got kind of a low audience score. It's got 52%, but critics are like 90 something percent because it was intentional. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I get that it's intentional, but sometimes intentional isn't always the best approach, right? I mean, there's something to be said for being able to kind of like, you know, there's a point where you're so immersed that you're not immersed anymore. Hmm. It's like, you're just kind of just like overloaded with sensory things. Right. I have problems with movies like that. Like The Breakup was a movie like that. And then The Bear, the show The Bear, I don't really like for that reason either, because it's just constantly arguing. It's just too intense, like drama stuff. It's just like, no, I'm good.
So you didn't like Uncut Gems?
No, I didn't dislike it. It's just it's that whole overloading of like just it's you know, right?
It was too much for your senses?
Yeah, too much. A little too much.
But it might be a good movie to have like a glass of wine before, you know, get into like a nice relaxed
just mood. Like a shot of opium. Just, you know, straight in the veins.
good movie to watch if you're on heroin.
Yeah, like, yeah. Opium so, Den or something.
So let me get your thoughts on Adam Sandler in kind of like a serious role, but he was still kind of Adam Sandler-ish. You know what I mean? He was still...
Yeah.
It seems like he's another guy who's almost always playing himself. Mm-hmm. I thought his accent was horrible. Like he kept going back and forth between almost like, you know, those comedy albums that he put out, like over the top accents. Like when he calls, there's a scene in the beginning where he calls Arno, who he owes the money to. And he's like, "You're sending your goons to go get," and it's like, it's this overly super Jewish, like emphasized like accent. And then like it drops off when he's just in normal acting scene. So I feel like that was kind of a screw up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a bad actor, but I don't think he's great. Like, there's other comedic actors that have done fantastic jobs, like Robin Williams. Yep. Jim Carrey is a really phenomenal actor outside of comedy, right? Adam Sandler is usually best suited in comedy, but he's done decent with, like, this, and, like, Spanglish was another good one he did.
I don't want to see Spanglish.
His best roles, I think, are the ones where he can actually blend the comedy with the drama, like Anger Management, right? That was
that
was solid, like, because he was able to do a comedic thing, but it wasn't like silly, like Happy Gilmore or Mr. Deeds or stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I love Happy Gilmore. I thought the one where he's playing, what's it called? So there's a movie where he's got like a controller. Like, and he can like change time. Click. It's called Click.
Click. Yeah, Click.
Yeah. I thought that movie stunk, but I actually thought he was really good in it. Like, I thought like he showed a lot of emotion because there's that scene where like, you know, he fast forwards in time and he sees his kids grown up and things like that. I thought he was good in it, but I thought the movie itself stunk. There's a movie called Punch Drunk Love that he's in that I thought was really good. He's got like these rage issues and whatnot, but. To me, I think this might be my new favorite, other than Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler movie. Like, I don't know why. There's so much to watch that I don't lose interest. Like, you can follow him. Let's try and figure out all the storylines that are in here. We got his exam, his colonoscopy, right? Mm-hmm. He owes money to Arno, the gangster. He's got a mistress that he's got problems with.
Yep.
He's got a wife that he's having problems with. There's some things going on with his kids, right? His kids don't really like him. And then he's got these goons that are chasing after him. That's kind of tied to the Arno thing. He's got this auction that he's trying to get the gems sold at.
Yeah.
And he's dealing with the auctioneers and then he's got this, like, I don't know what you would call him. The guy who is his friend who sells the watches and, like, you know, he's not really his friend, but
he has no friends.
Yeah, like, yeah,
this
true.
Is a guy who doesn't have friends. He has like associates, business associates.
Yeah, right? His business associate, that his underling, you know, that brought Garnett into the store, that's trying to hawk watches or whatever. He's got this guy, and he's dealing with drama with that guy. He's got that other guy that quit. He was like, "I'm gonna leave, and I'm gonna be doing my business with a lot of other people. You're gonna be jealous." You know, there's that guy, and then there's the. Just the gem itself, like the value of it wasn't what he thought it was. That's stressful. And then he's got this bet with Garnett and, oh man.
He's also sold the ring, right?
He's sold.
Yeah. He's like, what do I do now? And then he's got to give his other ring up. Right. I mean, this guy is like deep in it. Right. I mean, and it's really just kind of illustrating the pitfalls of addiction and gambling addiction, and you know, this guy is deep in it, and honestly, what happens to him at the end might be just an escape for him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll get to the end, but, oh yeah, he's got, his wife is like leaving him and he's trying to like keep the family together. Right. So he's got this other apartment. He's just got, he's juggling too many things. Right. And so that's what we're meant to feel as the audience. Like, you know, all these things that are going on. And I have a theory that Howard actually wins in the end, even though he gets shot in the face and dies. And Arnold gets shot. Well, here's why he wins. Those two, they established throughout the movie, there's a lot of scenes where people can't get in and out of this jewelry shop without like somebody on the inside to hit the button, right?
Right.
And once they kill the two guys who know how to get in and out, and they're just bagging up stuff, there's no way for them to get out. They're like, the girl is out. She's gonna come up and she's gonna find the dead bodies and she's gonna see them in there. It's bulletproof glass. They establish that, and so she'll just bring the cops back or whatever. So she kind of wins. She's got all the money from the Garnett parlay, and the other dudes are just kind of stuck there with their dicks in the wind, you know, with these bags, like caught in an armed robbery, double murder.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So
I mean, these guys are not all never. They're never really accused of being smart. Like,
yeah. I suppose if your job is collection goon, you're not exactly like, you know, a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah, they saw an opportunity and they seized it, but they did not think it through. So yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, it's it, another issue here is, I like in some movies there's just no likable character. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is one of those movies where you just don't like anyone.
I like Kevin Garnett.
Well, Kevin Garnett, but like, you know, like the main characters, like they're just bad people. You know, they're just in a lot of stuff and they're just, they make poor choices and they just aren't very nice, you know? And I don't need nice people necessarily, but yeah, I always feel like there's gotta be a character you can at least somewhat relate to and feel a little bit of compassion for. And in this case, I mean, I don't feel bad for anyone.
I felt compassion for his wife a little bit.
Yeah, she's kind of screwed over, but I mean, like
the kids,
but you don't get enough of them to like really root for or against them. It's just kind of like they're like a side story, right? I mean, just like in his life, they're a side story in his life. So he's looking out for number one, and that's just his MO is just, you know, what's best for me.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got 91% fresh, and the audience is at 52% fresh. Where do you land? Like, let's just say scale of 0 to 100, and with 100 being the highest, 0 being the worst. Mm-hmm. Like, what percentage did you like this movie?
Right. So I mean, there's two levels of like, right? There's a like of, did I personally like the movie? Was I, you know, would I watch it again? I probably wouldn't watch it again. Yeah, I liked it. But there's the other part of it is, you know, how well was it done? I thought it was really well done. Really well made. But you know, as far as characters go and story goes, and it's, you've kind of seen this story play out before in other movies. So it isn't like super original. I mean, but I'd say it's higher than 52, lower than 91. I'd say like 85.
85 is pretty high. I'd put it probably in the 80s. I don't know if I would have gone that high. I would have given it like an 82, like an 81, okay. Like low 80s. Like, it's in my top 20% of movies, but to get to that top like 15, 10%, 5%, like you got to be really, really like, let's do that. What would be like in your top 10%, like 90 plus rating out of 100 for you?
Oh, Children of Men.
Great one. Yeah.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Haven't heard that one or seen it.
Oh, okay. That's going to be on your list then. Cause that movie is fantastic. Let me give you the rundown here. Right.
All right.
So George Clooney directs it and he stars in it. He's part of the cast. It is Sam Rockwell and he's great. And he plays, the Gong Show guy, Chuck Barris.
Hmm.
So from the 70s, there was a show called The Gong Show. It was a variety show.
Oh, I know. We had that. We incorporated that into a work karaoke thing one time, mm-hmm. and I got gonged off stage while I was singing. So, yeah, I'm familiar.
So the Gong Show, and there was a rumor, I guess it came up in his autobiography or something, that he was not just a TV host, but he was also a secret agent for the U.S. government, an assassin, right? So it's this story of him as an assassin trying to balance doing the show and being an assassin at the same time. And it's really well done. It's written by a guy named Charlie Kaufman, and okay. I don't know if you're familiar with his work.
Yep.
Adaptation.
I usually hate it. I like Eternal Sunshine. I hated Adaptation.
Yeah, Adaptation was hit or miss. Schenectady, he did. I usually like everything he does. He's really quirky and offbeat, but I think you'd like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. But yeah, that's go ahead.
I think the Safety Brothers are like getting into that category for me where I like everything they do. That movie, mm-hmm. Good Time, has got to be on your list, but. I mean, when we talk about top 10% for me, that's like 10 movies, right? It's like, you know, Terminator 2. It's probably Field of Dreams. I've made some recent additions. Like, there's a couple movies I've watched in recent years that probably get into that upper. I watched a movie called American Made with Tom Cruise. It's about a drug and gun smuggler pilot. That movie is a recent addition. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a recent addition.
Yeah, like, I get to see that one still. Yep,
it's tough to get into that upper echelon. You got to do something special to crack, you know, 40 years of movie favorites. But this one's definitely in that next tier. Like, it has a lot of rewatch value for me because of all the different storylines that are going on. But the ending being so sudden and abrupt. So if you are watching and you're kind of curious, you might not watch the movie or whatever. So Howard makes this huge bet. Howard is Adam Sandler's character. And he locks these two goons in the shop with him, like in this barrier, while the bet plays out. And the bet is a basketball game with Kevin Garnett. And they win the bet. So he wins like $1 million or whatever. And so he celebrates and he lets his guard down and he lets these two goons into the shop, and one of them just shoots him right in the face and then shoots the other guy right in the face too. And so it's just a very abrupt, like, he ended on top, and I was like, I was elated when he won. I was like, yeah, payoff. All this anxiety has paid off. And then bang, he gets shot in the face. And it's just like, oh,
that's life, man. That's life.
It is. That I is.
Mean, sometimes that's how you... this... sometimes you get shot in the face.
That's how this podcast series finale is going to end. Somebody's going to walk in behind the camera and just shoot me right in the face.
I certainly hope not. That would be unfortunate.
You really wouldn't know what to do on the other end of the... We'll see you next time.
One of us will see. No, I think I'm going to stop.
So I watched the other one that you recommend. I know this is... It doesn't fit the topic of this, but I watched Swiss Army Man with Radcliffe and Paul Dano. And for those of you who have been listening to the 12 of you that listen to every episode, knew that was coming. It was a great pick by Justin. I compared it to Weekend at Bernie's meets Castaway, but it's much darker. Like, it's very dark. It's also very like raunchy. And weird, like there's boner scenes, there's a lot of farting and body fluids, and like, it's definitely not going to be for everybody. I could see some people watching.
Not a kids movie.
No, I could see some people watching like 10 minutes and being like, oh, I can't take any more of this. But I stuck with it, and it was a good pick.
I could see like some parents saying, oh, Harry Potter's in a movie. Let's watch it with little Junior.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all right. So we got about 10 minutes left. What's next on your watch list? What do you got?
What are you
looking into?
What am I looking into, or what am I telling you to look into?
No, what's next for you that is on your list to watch, and then we'll suggest stuff for next time.
So I've just started watching Fallout, the series.
Okay.
So we were watching it. I was watching it with my wife, and I think she's already checked out. And it's not because it's bad, but it's a lot bloodier and gruesome than she thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty hardcore. But I liked it. Started off strong. I'm going to keep watching it. The episodes are a little long. They're like the hour-long variety type.
Yeah.
So it's like watching a little mini movie every time. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching Your Honor, which is this judge show on Showtime with Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty good. I've got a few different. I just rewatched the OJ series, OJ Made in America. Yeah. Have you seen that?
No.
So it's basically 5 hour long episodes about OJ's life and career, and like the first three episodes are, you know, football and Naked Gun, and we should do the Naked Gun movies on here one time.
Those are good. Those are good.
Yeah, we could probably cover all of them in one.
The first two and a half were good.
Yeah, first two and a half. And then the episodes 4 and 5 are, you know, he kills his wife and then robs some people in Vegas. But
that wasn't as funny. That was no. You know, I mean, like it was more like.
Do you think he did it? You think he did it?
Do I think he did what?
Do you think OJ killed his wife and that other dude?
I am like almost 100% certain he did. And a really, you know, when he died, I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. I mean, talk about shitting on your legacy.
Rotten piece, dude.
Like, I still see people. I crack a lot of OJ jokes on my other podcast, just, you know, because it's funny. It's funny to make fun of the guy because he killed people and he's made himself like an open target. So even when he died, I made fun of him. But, you still see people kind of defending him, like he was found innocent, he was whatever. He was also found liable, like in a civil court. Like they said that he did it, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, that means something. And then also, he wrote a book called "If I Did It, Here's How It Happened," and gave an interview. So they gave an interview
where he cashed in on it.
Right. He gave an interview where he described basically like how it quote unquote would have happened, but the whole time. He's basically saying, I remember this. I don't remember that. Like he's not talking hypothetically. He's speaking from memory. Yeah. And I watched this thing about a body language expert was kind of breaking it down. And he was like, oh yeah, totally guilty. Like he's the worst at hiding it.
I mean, like just simply running from police at a high or medium speed chase with the Bronco was like, I mean, that's like enough to say, well, he did something right. Yeah. But yeah, it's just the whole thing was just horrible. And like, you know, so some murderers that get away with it just disappear. Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, Zimmerman took a while to disappear, but he just disappeared eventually. Right. George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Casey Anthony. Right. Don't hear from her anymore. Yeah, like if you kill somebody and get away with it, lay low. Like don't draw attention to yourself more.
Yeah. All right, any final thoughts here on Uncut Gems before we wrap up this this first ever live episode? I feel like we're at 23 minutes. That's about the episode of a sitcom. I feel like that's a nice little length for a movie review.
Yeah, I just say that a final thought would be I'm not going to get involved in basketball gambling. That seems like a bad idea.
I'm not big on sports gambling. To me, it's just because there's people who are out there literally with like – logarithms and algorithms and like doing it in a very scientific way, and I'm just like you know, he seems like he's been shooting the ball well lately, like you know what I mean.
So, yeah, I think, and now it's legal in North Carolina and you're seeing all the ads and I'm like, man, I don't know about this.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
By the way, this episode sponsored by DraftKings. No.
I mean, I love it. It's fun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Enjoy our new outro, and Justin, appreciate it, and we'll do this again soon. Next movie, The Lighthouse, right? Is that what we're doing
next?
Yeah,
Lighthouse. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's,
oh, yeah.
Let's do the same thing next weekend. We'll talk about The Lighthouse. We'll break it down for everybody and tell them why they should watch it or avoid it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The dudes would like to thank you for watching and remind you that if you've made it this far, you should probably just go ahead and subscribe. Let us know what movies, shows, or topics you'd like to hear the dudes discuss on a future podcast. We'll see you next time.